As I was walking down this morning, I was thinking, when God's speaking in your life and putting his finger on things and showing you things about him, you often find you get challenged, don't you, internally with everything that's going on in your heart and externally. So what I'm just going to talk about this morning is something that I find quite challenging myself. So I'm not saying anything in the sense of I've got there at all, but it's something really that has just sort of dawned in my heart. I find that when God speaks to me, people find that confusing. God speaks to you, what does that mean? A big booming voice? Or for me, it's just like light in my heart and revelation. I just see things really clearly in a new way. And that's how I see God speaking to me. The scripture that it's come to my heart this week is, your kindness has made me great. And it sparked off a little study that I looked in the Bible to see about kindness, God's kindness and God's gentleness. And there is so much evidence of God's kindness. His word, we don't have to make up things that God might have said that would be nice. They're all there in the scripture. Wonderful things. Things like, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Everlasting means it never runs out. It's such a wonderful, kind thing to say. And that's, his word is really clear. And there's so much more I could add, so many more scriptures. And then the way that Jesus was with people, his actions, his kindness, the way that he handled people's lives. Like when he said to that woman, you know, where's your accusers? They've all run off. I don't accuse you either. And what struck me as well is the speed and the completeness of his kindness, even in the most difficult circumstances. When he was on the cross, there was another criminal next to him who said, remember me. All he had to say was, remember me. And the kindness of God, the loving kindness, just reached out and he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. The speed and the completeness of God's kindness is wonderful. So these are just little things that I've picked up as I've been looking this week in the scriptures. So I'm just going to go through a few of them. It might be helpful, possibly. Kindness is the great attribute of God, isn't it? It's who he is. It's that God is good. Goodness and kindness kind of go together. Peter said, this is Pete Brooke the other day, a few weeks ago, he said, kindness is God's secret weapon. It's amazing to think. You think of weapons, don't you, as being hard and, you know, iron and steel. But God works completely differently. He uses kindness. It's more of a melting factor rather than a sword, maybe. Well, there's a sword of the Spirit. So I was thinking about salvation. In Romans 2, it says, we are led. The kindness of God leads us to repentance, even in us needing to repent of the things we've done wrong. His kindness that leads us to that place. It says, don't despise the riches of his goodness, his forbearance, his long-suffering, because it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. And we start there, don't we? We start our journey led by kindness. We start our journey in salvation. And we go on into the fruits of the Spirit, which is Galatians 5, which is, there's a characteristic of sonship. When we belong to Jesus, there's a characteristic, there's a fruit that is born in our lives. And I'm not talking about brownie points here, you know, helping old ladies across the road or doing anything like that. It's a fruit that is born out of the life of God in you. And I read something that Jennifer Rees-Larkin wrote, which is, we have an audience of one. You know, there's no one else. We're not looking at each other going, oh, you're really kind, you're not so kind. It's how we live before God. We have an audience of one in these things. But it is a quality and characteristic of discipleship. Didn't he say in John 3, by this will all men know that you're my disciples if you love one another? And surely kindness and gentleness comes into that. There is so much that I got. I don't know if I've got too much, but there's also a godly mindset, which is the mindset of love and kindness. Jesus said, my ways and my thoughts are so much higher. And I would venture to say that one of the higher ways of God is to walk in kindness to each other. Don't worry, I haven't got hundreds of pages. I'm not going to go on forever. But it's like the yeast, isn't it? It's an active ingredient in the life of the Spirit and in the life of the church. And it has a domino effect. When you're kind, I don't know if you've ever seen that film, Pay It Forward, there's a little boy and he does a kindness and it's sort of ripple effect. It is good works, but it's more than that. When the kindness of God is at work, it talks about it in Ephesians 4. It says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, not hard-hearted, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And King David said, I want to show the kindness of God. He wanted to show kindness to his best friend, Jonathan, his descendants. And it's just that line, I want to show the kindness of God. There's no law, doesn't it? It talks about the fruit of the Spirit, against which such there is no law. There's no law. You can't kind of kill people with kindness if it's coming from that place of God's Spirit. It's completely appropriate and it will never be too much or too little. And grace is the undeserved kindness of God. We have the grace of God resting on our lives and it's undeserved. It's the kindness of God. Philemon 1, it says, your kindness has refreshed the hearts of God's people. We are deeply refreshed when people are kind to us. So I just thought I'd end with this Philippians 4, which is, again, the ripple effect of kindness. Like when you throw a stone into a pond and the ripples, the far-reaching impacts and effects of kindness. It says, be encouraged to forbear. And it goes on to say, prayer is the outlet. So kindness is in our hearts, but we pray it out combined with thankfulness. So it's like a lovely mixture, the kindness that comes from the Spirit and the thankfulness. And it leads, verse 7, into peace and tranquility of soul. So if you feel yourself ruffled and as I said, the externals are really getting to you, this different circumstances, there's tranquility of soul. That when we pray and we let the kindness of God flow and combine it with thankfulness, we have an assurance of salvation, which is another ripple. We fear nothing, which is another ripple. We're content. And we have peace that transcends all understanding in circumstances that are deeply trialing sometimes. And it says we have our heart and mind garrisoned and guarded by the peace of God. It's a wonderful promise. It's all in there if we kind of just delve in and get it. This is the last bit. So whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence, honour and seemly, whatever is just and pure and lovely, whatever is kind, winsome and gracious, if there is any virtue and excellency, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on and weigh and take account of these things. Fix your mind on the things above and let the kindness of God be your secret weapon.